Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, the weekly podcast, kind of like a happy meal for your ears. I don't know what that means. We're convenient, fast.
Yeah.
Questionably nutritious.
Free. Well, they're not free. I don't know
cheap.
Why.
Yes. We are cheap, easy, and questionably nutritious.
Yes.
I'm Caroline.
I'm Hannah.
And we're so glad you joined us today.
Yeah. I have a confession to make.
Okay.
After I was riding pretty high and mighty a couple weeks ago talking about my quinoa bowls and my perfect week where we didn't go out to eat all week.
Yeah.
In the last couple weeks of August and the very beginning of September, up until now, we're like the first week and a half into September.
Okay.
I have had McDonald's multiple times. We have eaten out so many times. We've been so unhealthy. I haven't been to the gym since the day before my fateful pool noodle fall.
You've been injured. Okay.
Summer 19. And it's just been one of those times.
I do need to know a quick question.
Yes.
Did you consider going to the gym and using an arm bike?
An arm bike? Oh, I should have.
Okay, I'm disappointed if you didn't.
I know. Those
I feel like you were selling yourself short.
Those are the dream, yeah. Honestly.
Secondly, I understand. So we don't go out to eat that often. Like maybe you once a week or every other week we'll do like Chick-fil-A just as a treat for the girls, usually on Thursdays when I'm working from home.
Right.
But the week we went to the beach, we went to McDonald's like 3 times in 5 days. Like we went on the way to the beach, on the way back
from
the beach.
Right.
And then we were like, why not? And I hated how that felt. I don't have guilt about stopping at Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Chick-fil-A to me sometimes feels better than McDonald's. I feel like it's a little bit more nutritious.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not. But I did start to feel real guilty about the frequency of that McDonald's.
I feel more guilty about Chick-fil-A because it's more of a splurge.
Yeah, because it's more expensive.
Price-wise.
Yeah.
And McDonald's are like renovating, so they're like nice and fancy, so I like that. I'm like, it's upscale.
I haven't been inside a McDonald's in years, but in my drive-through, I have not seen a play place, and I think that's why I justify it Chick-fil-A, because I'm like, oh, well, they're being active while we're here, because they're going inside to play.
That's true. A lot of McDonald's now, you can just order at a kiosk.
Oh.
Instead of, like, and then you can just have it ready.
It's like Panera.
Yes. Yeah, so I guess they're not the only one, but anyways. All that to say, it's just been one of those times. It's been, like, exhausting going into the year. I know, like, almost every, like, parent feels that way. Because everyone I talk to is saying that same thing.
Yeah.
And everyone kind of is like, oh, thank God, it's not just me.
Well, do you feel out of control when you're like that? Or do you feel like, this is just what we're doing for this season? Mine feels like a control issue.
Mine feels like this is just the way it is.
Yeah.
Because I tell myself, like, I know that I'm happiest when I have that healthy eating plan and when I have that gym schedule and when I have a good schedule for my kids.
Yep.
So for the last couple of weeks, I've just been able to say, this is not our norm. This is just a right now thing.
Yeah.
And we will get back on track one day. It doesn't mean my self-confidence doesn't take a bit of a dip. Like,
yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, I just feel like I feel like I was doing really well for like a couple weeks and then due to my injury.
Well, sure. It was pretty atrocious.
Yeah. Which is really the fault of my kids, obviously.
Clearly.
Sabotaging me.
Let me also note, you mentioned in that story that they were watching tablets in your car when you met your demise.
Mom of the year.
Yep. And you took Norabeth with you to the museum a couple weeks later.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't say anything about it until yesterday we were getting in the car. And she was like, when we were on our way to the museum, Miss Hannah let Milan have a tablet. So can I also, because she uses my Kindle to watch YouTube.
Right.
And so she was like, can I also have a tablet?
And
I was like, no, you cannot. And she was like, well, text Miss Hannah.
Oh,
and
my
I was
God.
Like, no.
She'll weigh in on this.
Don't worry, I will talk to Miss Hannah, but it will not be over text.
It will not be polite.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of ended up at the end of the summer, yet again, another throwing in the towel of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
If we were going anywhere for like 20 minutes of a drive or longer, I let them have tablets in the car because I didn't want to have more conversations.
You know, this weekend in particular, I just felt so bottomed out. And you, I think, put words to it for me that, you know, David works on weekends, so I'm doing a lot of activities with the girls solo without, you know, like a family support system with me and the girls. Obviously, I have the emotional support. But I was like, why is this just getting to me? And I was telling David about it last night. And I was like, you know, my options, I guess, I feel like are well, I could just not do anything with them because no one's there to help me. Or I can do stuff and just deal with it. But I don't want them to not have experiences or activities.
Right.
Just because out of their control, he works on weekends.
Yeah.
But boy, it got to me. And in the car in particular, it did too. There were so many questions, so much.
Yeah.
Let's play this pretend game.
Yeah.
Or refereeing the screaming that somebody took somebody's toy. And I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, take Mommy needs quiet time up here. Yeah. That is, I get it. I have been anti-screens in the car, but... Mm-hmm.
Me too, yeah, up until...
Boy, that felt like something to consider.
Yeah, because I'm like, I can always say no, and I have frequently said no, and, like, they accept no's, so it's been... Yeah. That's fine. And it's also, it's easier for me to make it that rule of, like, no, it's not 30 minutes away, so no, we're not. We're like, you're going to Publix, you're fine.
Plus,
you
can lie a little bit, they don't actually know it's 30 minutes
or not. Exactly, and I feel like... We've been discussing that boundary of, like, what can we do to just, like, not yell and to, like, be more in control. Uh-huh. And if it helps me feel a little bit more in control for a little while, just where I'm, like, I don't feel like I'm at the end of my rope, then it's worth it to me. So they've just had, like, a little more TV, and also just going into, like, school is a lot. It's very exhausting for them and for me as well, because... I feel like it's always emotional for parents to send their kids to school.
Yeah.
Because it's just more, like, even though I've been dying for them to go to school, it's still emotional. It's so confusing. Like, it's still like, oh, they're going to school, even though I'm like, no, go to school.
Get
go to school.
Here. Well, and, you know, I think these days there's more fear involved with sending their kids anywhere. And then it's not just school. It's getting the stuff for the class wish list. And, and you were making Play-Doh yesterday.
Speaking of which, I planned it out. So this year is the first year I've got two kids in the same preschool. Mm-hmm. So that is very convenient for me. Same schedule. And because I have no chill, I'm already planning what next year is going to look like.
Of course you are.
But this year I signed them both up to make the classroom Play-Doh right away. And this year they're color coding the months. So I signed up for red.
Yep.
Of course, yesterday, the day before I promised I would send in the Play-Doh, I realized I only have every other color but red of food coloring.
Naturally.
So I asked everyone. Our other neighbor came through for me.
Yeah.
So
good.
Thank goodness some neighbor was there.
Well, she's come through for me about three times, and I just keep not buying red, so because I don't need
to. At this point, we should all just give her more red food coloring. But the thing is, I wish I hadn't signed up for September. I wish I would have waited to October because you can't make red. I can't figure out how to make red.
I'll tell you, somebody told me this because I was making purple and it just kept turning out gray.
Mm.
Kool-Aid is what you use because it is more concentrated in color.
Oh, man.
I know. I should have told you that yesterday when you were looking for red.
Yeah, like an idiot.
Yep. Sorry.
Well,
good job, Mom.
Now I'm sending in Valentine's Play-Doh for fall.
I could have given you my pink food dye you didn't find.
I know.
Well, I signed up for opposite months for whatever reason, September for one, November for the other, for Play-Doh. But if you follow me on my personal Instagram account, you may have seen that I've been sharing preschool lunch pictures on there because we have many, many, many allergies in our class.
Right, in the one class, but not in the other one. So you have two kids in preschool as well.
Yes, I have a 2-day a week, just like Maya. Mm-hmm. Anna Blair's going 2 days a week, and she is in love with it. And Norbeth is 4 days a week, like Milan.
My favorite story from the first week of school is when we were talking about how the little girls did, and I said, how did Anna Blair do? And you said she charged past, or like she bumped an emotional mother out of the way to get into the classroom.
Yeah, they have these half doors that, like, you know, the top half opens, and they don't encourage parents to walk into class with the kids. So there's this boy, like, just crying at the door and, like, his pregnant mom, like, getting all emotional. And Anna Blair's just, like, pushing through her legs, insisting on wearing her backpack that she's not supposed to be wearing and, like, just charging in silently.
Get out of the way, friends, and honestly.
I'm like, okay, bye. Bye.
Mommy loves you.
And I'm, like, trying to let the teacher know, like, without interrupting their time. She's coming in. Bye.
This child's in your classroom. Handle it now. She's on you.
She didn't look back. She went straight to dress up, put on a dress, and was like, okay, I'm here now. This is what we do.
Someone's going
to
get my bag, right?
Yeah. Right. You're welcome.
Where's the concierge of preschool?
She's been calling herself Big Ann's, and... So, I could just picture...
Immediately picture her in the WNBA.
Yeah, obviously. Well, she'll go... She has a real gravelly, raspy voice, so she'll go, Big Ann's, it coming.
That sounds like something I would have seen on that show, which I and Amy, or my friend, loved when we were growing up, Recess.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't there, there's a something Anne.
Yeah. Well, Pepper Ann is a different.
Pepper Ann.
Oh, wait.
Isn't that? No.
Is that from Recess or is that a separate show?
I don't remember. Amy will tell me.
There's Pepper Ann.
There's someone Anne on Recess for I think.
It's the big girl,
or
right?
Annie. No, the little girl with the black hair and pigtails, right?
Maybe.
Anyway.
Yeah, so she calls herself Big Anne's, and she just bowled her way into class.
That's
and
awesome.
Never looked back.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of good stories about kids. I was getting emotional before Maya went in.
Yeah.
Everyone is posting pictures of their kids, and I really like seeing all your kids going back to school. I think it's super cute.
Yeah,
good,
I do too.
Good for all of us for making it through the summer. And I know that there will come a time when we all like super miss these days, so I'm just trying to cling to that because I did really enjoy. Maya's only been in school for one day, and I didn't really spend it at home because I had a bunch of errands. But even still, it was nice to not have to like constantly unbuckle and buckle and yeah. be able to actually run around and not have to constantly explain every step I was making.
And why.
And why.
And say no to other things.
No, you can't buy that. No, you can't buy another cat. Because well, we were at the vet.
That seems
as well.
Like you were being really selfish.
Yeah, so. As always. Well, anyway, well,
speaking of days that we'll forget or not forget, miss, we're in good company now because a woman from southern India gave birth to twins at the age of 74.
Oh.
So I imagine she will be relying heavily on Happy Meals as well because she's going to need something to help with her energy.
Is that one of those situations where it's like she had a baby for her kids, her daughter?
No, after years of being unable to conceive naturally, she welcomed two baby girls through IVF.
Wow.
Yeah. That is just a headline and subheadline. I've not read the article.
Yeah. That is an amazing story.
Yeah.
I've actually, now that I've been rambling for 15 minutes about my somewhat failings, but I'm not calling them failings. I'm calling them survivings of the late summer.
That's nice.
We have a lot more to talk about with what women are doing today.
Well, yeah. I mean, I just told you.
Yeah. That was pretty much a kicker. Good for that lady.
Yeah.
That's sweet. She finally
realized her dream as a mom.
Yeah. So I saw a story this week about Demi Lovato posting a picture where she's like fully, it's like a bikini picture.
Yep.
And it is a beautiful picture. Mm-hmm. And she has like fully, just like her regular body. Yep. And she has not photoshopped out any cellulite or anything.
Yep.
This is like from behind. And she posted that she, I think, I don't follow her. I like her.
Yeah.
I just don't. Follow a whole lot of celebrities, but I think someone had said something rude to her, as people say all the time online, and it kind of just turned her off to social media for a little while.
Yeah.
I think man said DM me, I think it was a man, said DM me for tips on a workout plan or something about like a photo she had posted.
Yeah.
Which is super rude. And so she took a little break and came back with this photo, and she was like, I was really scared to post this because it's not edited at all, and mm-hmm. I've definitely edited photos in the past, and I just thought that was a really good movement forward.
I totally agree, and I like that she called it cellulite, or it might have been in a comment, but I just really like that she removed the stigma of that.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like a sub-story to that I read, because I'm like you, I like Demi Lovato, I don't follow her, but I feel like anything I need to know comes in headlines. But
yes,
apparently her weight can often trigger drug use for her, and is part of her insecurities, and it kind of feeds her addiction. Is huh. She knows when she uses, she loses weight, and
oh,
so for her, it's like a real empowering thing to know she's heavier than she would be,
right? Yeah,
while she's in recovery, but
right.
also celebrating that.
Yeah.
So to me, like even more so, I really appreciated her like. The empowerment that
yeah.
she must be feeling to like overcome that
right
demon, you
yeah
know, in her life
so. Yeah, exactly. It was a great message to send, and I appreciate her doing that, you know, someone with that platform. Ashley Graham a couple weeks before that shared a photo, she's pregnant,
mm-hmm.
and like she has like full stretch marks on display.
Yep.
And that's great because that's like most of us.
Yeah,
like, you know, it's not like I don't know, it's just, it's more real life.
Yeah. And I totally agree.
Jamila is always posting stuff about like body positivity, and like she doesn't let them edit out like her stretch marks or anything.
Yep.
And more of that, please. That's great.
For sure. Well, we've been watching a very, very, very rated R show that I would recommend, with the disclaimer that it's very, very, very rated R. The Boys on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I want to watch that.
It is very good. It is very dark and pretty heavy. But one of the subjects that they tackle is basically the questions that arise when a woman stands up to say that they were forced to do something.
Interesting.
And the lengths that, like, big corporations will go to keep their, in this case, actual superheroes golden. And so it was it's been great. I mean, it is a, again, very dark, kind of twisted show.
Right.
If you don't know the concept of it, it is, there's this group called the Seven. They are these seven superheroes that live among us, but they have, it's kind of like the Marvel machine, but they're actually like real superheroes. But they are actually very corrupt, and it goes in and follows, like, the big business of superheroes. It's great. But the way that they have tackled some women's issues has been fantastic.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing, this is a topic that we've talked about quite a bit, is, like, about artists and creativity and, like, what is appropriate and what is, like, stealing and all. Yeah. So basically, Ariana Grande was suing Forever 21.
Oh.
They tried to work out a deal where she wanted to, they, like, she was going to be, like, a face of their campaign, and then they couldn't, they didn't want to pay her enough. So instead of paying her, like, that deal fell through, and then they hired someone who looks exactly like her.
Oh.
A lookalike. And then they dressed her in, like, some of her looks from her music videos. This other girl.
Yep.
So, for their campaign. So, she is suing them for that. Like, basically, copyright infringement, I think.
Interesting.
Not copyright infringement, but, like, she's suing them for stealing her likeness.
Yeah.
Like. But then, other people are coming out and talking about, like, well, she, like, apparently, one of her looks from one of her videos was, like, made popular at first by, like, a drag queen who follows her. Or a drag queen who she found the look from, who was a popular person as well.
Oh, wow.
Allegedly, that person said that that person was talking with her stylist, who said, oh, she showed us this picture and said, recreate this look. It's like a corset, shiny corset look. And then it came out that her, like, there was, like, a vision board for her tour, and it featured 72% black women. So then they were saying, well, she's appropriating black culture. So there's just a whole huge conversation around this, which I really thought was interesting, because we talked a little bit last week about kind of the voices that get lost in this conversation, because her stylist, who is a black man, was like, I put together that board myself. Like, she didn't put that together, so I don't really know where you're going with that. But that kind of just added to the whole, like, the drag queen, and I forget that person's name, who brought up the question of her suing Forever 21, was just saying, like, well, now she's appropriating queer culture by using this. So I just think it's an interesting conversation about art. Like, we're always talking about, like, art and creatives and their work. Like, what is stealing and what is appropriating and what is just being inspired by art?
Well, and where I kind of, like, draw the line for me personally, one, Ariana, I said her name wrong, but one, Ariana, I guess, had you not sued Forever 21, all of this wouldn't have gotten kicked up, which, right. Like, you're not
I
wrong.
Think that's what, yeah, that's but, what that person was saying, too, was like, well, if you're going to sue for...
But I think, for me, when it comes to how you are dressing and styling yourself, while I know that is art, I guess, in its expression, to me, that is not something that you own the way that what you write or perform would be, because I think that there is so much of street style and... whatever, that it's hard to put any ownership on what people wear and how they do their looks. Like, there is some kind of finite ability to do that. And it's the whole reason we have mass fashion.
Right.
It's because people will buy and wear multiple looks. So to me, that's kind of a stretch of, like, yeah, it's her trademark. But, like, I don't know. To me, that is not taking away from her ability as an artist to have Forever 21 styling somebody to look like her.
Right. And I wonder, too, what's the conversation around, like, this part would be something to discuss with a queer person, because, like, as far as, like, appropriating or, like, taking from queer culture or the queer community, I kind of see that as her just seeing a look she liked and saying, make this for me.
That's how I feel.
Which I think everyone does.
Well, and also...
famously. Like, famous people do. Or, like, people who would have a reason. I mean, it's what you do on a very base level. when you go shopping for a wedding dress,
yes,
that's what you're doing. You're saying, I saw this in a magazine. Totally. And so on a level of like when you're rich and famous and you have an event that you want to go to and you see a little like,
well, and people, I don't know. People dress up like Ariana at her concerts. Is she going to sue right. all of them for like her likeness? To me, it just feels like it was a response to not being able to nail down a contract. To me is what it sounds like.
Yeah,
is it,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah,
retaliative.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
That if they hadn't even been in conversation with her and then just borrowed her look
right.
for their models.
Right.
I don't know. That to me is a harder case. But
it's, yeah, it, to me it looks bad on Forever 21 because I'm like, you can afford her. Just pay her what she's worth. Right. Like, that's silly on your part. And I think it's kind of like a squabble that both of them could afford to not care about, but like they do to make a point. And I think it's fair to say like, you didn't pay me enough and now you're trying to like cheap out and get someone who looks like me and has totally. My same style.
But to me,
but it's still like, I don't know.
She could have been just as effective with that because she also doesn't need the money, mm-hmm. really. She could have been just as effective to put them on blast on social media
totally,
and
yeah.
draw attention to it.
I think so, yeah.
Than to bring this up in a legal way that just feels real petty.
I wonder if it would be more effective to blast them. Because like then people, I feel like you could get people to, like, if she were to hashtag ban Forever 21 or like yeah. no Forever 21 stop Forever 21 whatever
Forever 21
that would trend
forever.
For yeah that would trend forever like people or that would trend very quickly I feel like people yeah. would immediately stop or like there it would be like I don't know I feel like their sales would go down I feel like they would feel that
well not to like bring Taylor Swift into every conversation but I feel like Taylor Swift has done that really successfully mm-hmm. with like her catalog you know
yes.
She didn't sue over it. She mm-hmm. just put Scooter Braun on blast. And not even in, like, I didn't feel like it was in a cruel way. She just drew
no,
attention
I didn't
think
to so it.
Either,
yeah.
Like, hey, this was taken from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Ariana, who, why don't you call her Ariana?
yeah.
Ariana Grande. I don't know that I view her as, like, the most mature person, but I think had she taken a minute, and I guess she did, because it takes a while to draw up a lawsuit, but to articulate, like, hey, here's a picture of what it's like to be an artist, where mm-hmm. when contracts fall through, it doesn't matter because they will just hire a lookalike and
right.
borrow this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all that I think needs to be said, and then post pictures
yeah.
of what she's seen.
Right.
And then to me, yeah, that her fan base will 100% rally around her. And mm-hmm. I think we would even say, like, well, good for her for drawing attention to this.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Which is funny because the legal way of going about it, it's like in a different day and age that maybe would have been like the obvious thing to do. But now we're like, oh, no, obviously just like blast them on social media.
Yeah,
that would have been the better thing.
Well, you know, I feel like
as legal counsel ourselves, obviously,
clearly in-house, you know, when we talk about cultural appropriation in fashion, we didn't talk about it a few weeks ago, Kim Kardashian's release of her kimono line.
Oh, yeah. Wait, didn't we?
I don't think so.
Oh, that's a miss.
I think that we did miss that.
Oh, man.
So if you missed it.
Best hashtag of ever was Kim Oh No.
Yeah.
O-H-N-O.
So Kim released a line of shapewear
mm-hmm.
that she called Kimono, which was like, you can't. I
yeah.
don't know.
Like friend.
Yeah. From a didn't... marketing standpoint, good. That's a good name.
Yeah.
But not
were
for you.
You. Yeah. Like, did you have some ties to Japanese culture?
Again, how that got through so many rounds
right.
of approval that it was released
there
under
were
that
a
name.
Lot of things that the Kardashian-Jenners do that I'm like, how?
I guess if Chris has the final say on stuff,
yeah.
that it's kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
However, in her praise, that was released, and immediately people were like, this is not okay.
Right, right.
And they immediately responded, and they're like, we are so sorry. I don't know what we were thinking. They pulled it. They renamed it Skims.
Oh, cute.
And that was that.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that they were very quick to respond appropriately. They did not get defensive. Kim was like, I'm really sorry. It just didn't even occur to me. Kind of mm-hmm. like this is a learning thing for everybody
right.
pulled it off the market and then rebranded it.
Yeah. The conversation around appropriation is an important one. And of
yes.
course we as two white women are sitting here having it, which
sure.
is
sure.
useful.
Yeah.
But I try and learn a lot about it. And whenever someone calls out someone for appropriation, I try and dive into that perspective because I want to know like why you thought this other person was taking from you, because I think that's important. But I did see that a lot of people were saying on, regarding the inspiration board, the vision board conversation, like style of other women. Like it was like Rihanna,
Beyonce.
They were like, these are style icons, first of all. And like, it's not like appropriation. Some black women had the opinion that appropriation would be were she to like wear like the Bantu knots or like even without it's not even like wearing them. It would be like wearing, I think, if I'm like not, I mean, I could be mistaken more about this conversation. And but like without crediting the origins or without appreciating the origins of where like these things culturally come from.
Right. Well,
and which was like the kimono conversation. It's like that doesn't have anything to do. Like a kimono is like a cultural symbol of Japan.
Right. It's so, not like a shapewear.
Right.
Whatever. But yeah, where I struggle with the appropriation conversation, again, acknowledging that I am exactly who the market who appropriates the most, is to me, I feel like, well, applause that 72% of this design board was inspired by black women.
Right.
I think the conversation, to me, it feels like it's also tricky because had there been no black female representation on that board, that's also a conversation. But mistakenly, I just said that I thought that she was Hispanic. Not true. She is American and half Sicilian. But when I Googled Ariana Grande culture to see what her nationality is, cultural appropriation is the third hit on that.
Yeah.
So clearly people are also wondering what
that is.
Because I was going to say that to me also then would bring up if she were a minority that, okay, well, that's also a different conversation.
Right. Yeah.
But
yeah.
She's not. So.
Yeah. And I think regarding stealing the outfit idea, I don't know. I mean, I wonder if it's something like, would the answer have been like, did that person, I think maybe this person just wanted her to credit the, like the origin of the idea.
But like, if it's Michelle Obama who is dressed in like a beautiful ball gown,
it's usually known where, who the designer was.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe that's the conversation. Maybe that's where the thing is. But also like, I don't think that people are usually, I don't know. I guess you usually know who designs for people.
Yeah.
But were she to put out like inspo from this other person, tag that account, whatever. I don't think that would have, I don't know, maybe it would have drawn more attention. Maybe that's what they're saying she should have done.
Yeah. Okay. I can see that.
Yeah.
Well, it is a tricky conversation, especially for us to have in a way that feels fair.
Yeah, exactly.
I do want to...
Please look up other people who have more of a voice in this conversation as well, rather than just us, because... For sure, there are many more educational voices on cultural appropriation than the two of us.
Sure. Well, I did want to talk about Chanel Miller. Do you know that name?
Mm-mm.
She is the woman...
I love the name Chanel.
I do, too. She was the woman who was sexually assaulted by Brock Turner.
Oh, yeah.
That story made many people angry, and rightfully so, several years ago.
Yeah.
But she, up until last week, had not been identified. She was just Jane Doe. Then she decided to self-identify. She has a memoir coming out called Know My Name, but she is going to be interviewed on 60 Minutes reading her victim impact statement that
that would be powerful.
Delivered to Brock Turner. She said she had to force herself to relearn her real name and her identity, and learn that that assault was not all that she is, that she is not just a drunk victim at a frat party found behind a dumpster, which I thought was like incredibly empowering and brave for her to come forward, because I mean, every woman should be able to come forward. But the reality is, I'm sure that as much as she's being celebrated for coming forward, there are equally as many people
for sure she's facing death threats. Yeah. Like there's no way she isn't. So that's really brave. She'll be getting my dollars for that one.
Yeah. And I will definitely be tuning into that 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Chanel, we are big fans.
Yeah. You shared on our Insta stories a link to that article about her coming forward. And I think it's upsetting that it's both upsetting and empowering because, you know, it's like you were saying, people don't just obviously feel like they can come forward with even claims that they've been assaulted. So her coming forward hopefully empowers other women and men who are in that position and not feeling as empowered to have their voices heard, have their names potentially splashed across headlines because of the perceived shame, you know.
Totally. Well, there's an active lawsuit right now against the Church of Scientology and the actor Danny Masterson, who's a longtime member of the church, from a group of women.
AKA Hyde from That 70 Show, right?
Yes, correct. I believe it's six now who have come together to sue them in the church. Interestingly, three have chosen to use their name and three do not yet feel comfortable with their names. So I think it's definitely a process for people and always, sadly, still a risk reward of, you know, even if it's not shame, like I know, so I work for a cancer nonprofit and we steward survivorship. So quality of life services for people who are living with cancer.
Okay.
And there is a girl who was diagnosed when she was really little. And so one of our teams is created for her, but now she's in high school. And she doesn't like to be associated with that because she's at an age where she doesn't want to feel like the girl who had cancer anymore.
Right.
Because so much of her life was that. So it has nothing to do with shame. Everyone's like really celebratory, but she wants to remove that label from herself. And so I think it may not even always be a shame situation as much as it's like once people know that about somebody, it's hard to, you can't unknow it.
Yeah.
And so then it almost like continues to follow you around because everyone knows that you are that person.
Yeah.
Good, bad, or ugly. So, you know, I know that everyone who, again, I have not been in that situation, but everyone who is on their own journey. But I'll be following that story about Scientology.
Yeah, me too.
I love anything following scandals in Scientology. Yeah.
Okay, so that's kind of a lot to chew on. I feel like I've been chewing on it. I just always think it's interesting to talk about any kind of art and creatives and the rights behind their work and then how it would feel to be, to have your work taken by like an artist who is on like such a bigger scale than you, but also that's kind of how inspiration works. I don't know. Anyway, it's just interesting.
It is interesting. And one final thought, I was just thinking Target has come under fire quite a bit for doing this, finding like Etsy people and then mass producing their work and inspiration because it's happened to a couple friends of mine from Target that they have had lawsuits against Target and they just get paid off, but they don't stop selling the product.
Right.
So again, like sexual assault or like this, I mean, they're very different things. But it's easy for me to sit here and armchair it and be I would do this.
Right.
But
totally. That's a good point. I mean, having not had any work stolen, I shouldn't say stolen, having not had any work no one is inspired by me, so
so I'm fine. Here's the thing, here's make worse stuff.
Here's how I feel about it, having no
having no influence over anybody.
Shan't anyone want to delve into my work and use it on a mass scale?
I'll send you a direct link.
All right, let's take a break on that note, everybody.
Hey, you're wearing another great tee.
I feel a little attacked.
That was a compliment. This one, what about that was not received that way?
This one is from before I got pregnant with Milan.
Again, I like it's a relaxed fit.
Yeah, a lot of my shirts are from my pregnancy with Milan.
I would consider that body skimming, to borrow language from Kim. That's like a body skimmer.
Yeah.
But if you here's a question. Are you typically looking for more like that?
Mm-hmm. I only have a couple, so I have to wear the ones that are super comfortable.
Yeah, and I've seen the full breadth of the line.
2 to 3 of them, yes.
Yeah. I have someone that I think that you should look into.
Hit me.
It's called Thrifties.
Yes.
It is a service provided by our friend Maylee.
Mm-hmm.
She's a teen phenomenon. She's 18 years old, and she's one of my good friends.
Me too.
She
she has my Wi-Fi password. That's where we're at.
She started Thrifties. It is an awesome service in which she thrifts for the perfect vintage tees just for you.
Mm-hmm.
She provides you with a pack of 4, perfectly vintage, perfectly thrifted, and ready to go.
Cuts down for most days of the week.
That's right. Add them to the 3 you already have.
Right.
You're set.
Set them a tease.
Yeah. Sunday best tee, save for NASA. The rest of them, whenever you need. But she's offering a discount to listeners. Thrifting is a good idea. We'll get you $5 off your first pack of Thrifties.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. You can follow her on Instagram at thrifttees _.
Perfect. We will find her and we will use that code. Okay, so someone sent in the idea to bring up as a topic, which I loved because I've actually been thinking this This is a conversation I love to have with you.
Okay.
Jenna said, how about you guys talk about like freelancing and how to move into freelancing and stuff like that? Because I remember I've had a conversation with you a couple times about like, wait, how did you even like decide? How did you decide how to freelance? Uh-huh. How do you even do that? Like, how do you start? And so I would love if we could talk a little bit, because last week we had Chris on,
yep,
who is crushing it, and we're all best friends.
We
have a group
friends.
Text.
Yeah, we text each other.
And
one time I accidentally FaceTimed you both, so.
She's maybe blocking us. She's probably trying to ghost
Chris?
Us. You haven't responded to Caroline's FaceTime. What was that
That's
about?
Weird.
But it feels like a good time to talk about, because it's like the beginning of school year, beginning of new things. Some of us can maybe start to not focus on our kids for 5 minutes,
yep,
present company included. What kinds of things go into that? Because so you decided when you were younger, just to tell your story for you.
Okay, good.
I mean,
appropriating
sorry, when
me.
You, yeah. I know you are a victim here.
Ariana, check your text. I get it.
When your child was younger, I guess technically you as well. Not as young as me, but you know.
Okay, that feels really unnecessarily mean. It's just straight up unkind. Because to get away from office jerks like you is what. That was my motivation.
The shade was too much.
It's too much.
You were working full time.
Yes.
And then you had Nora Beth, and like many moms, not all moms, of course.
Yeah.
You decided you wanted to do something where you could be around her full time.
Correct.
You have a little bit more. You have a lot more, I guess. I don't know if it's even. I'm trying to think of the right word for it. Like, I would say to myself, oh, I really want to do freelance work. But it's almost like I wouldn't even think to, like, make those steps.
Yeah, I would consider it delusion a
sure,
little bit.
Okay, cool.
I think
delusions of
grandeur. I think you do have to fake a lot,
mm-hmm,
which is not always super comfortable. Like, I'll tell you a story that happened this week. Somebody posted on a mom group and said, does anyone here know of a service that makes lunches for your preschoolers?
Right.
Because I cannot pack my kids' lunches. And I immediately responded, yes, I do. I don't have a service that does that.
I am that service.
I had packed for
as
your kids
right now.
The night before.
Right. I put that on our Instagram.
Yeah,
you put together the perfect lunch for my kids.
Thank you. You did not need to like say anything about it, but thank you. I had done it the night before and I was like, now I have a service. That's right. And so I do think
that's
that there is a part of you that you have to believe, like, you're not looking for the first time that you've done it.
Oh,
you
yeah.
have to like convince people, like, I do this.
It's kind of like Shonda Rhimes had a quote a while back that I really liked, where she was like, I think in advertising her masterclass, where she was like, you can't say, like, I want to be a writer. Like, you say, I'm a writer.
Yeah. Well, because I was like, you know, I am a marketing professional. I just now have the opportunity that you can afford me.
To be a marketing professional.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
Right. Because nobody is going to hire you super reticent about it. You mm-hmm. know, like, hey, do you? But again, it really does. I mean, this sounds so like LinkedIn, like garbage, but it is so about knowing people.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody that I freelanced for would I have done that if I didn't somehow have a personal connection to them somehow.
So we all have those connections, though. We all have, like, the 6 degrees of someone.
Yeah.
What did you do to even find that, though? Like, I know people, because I know you and you know everyone.
Yeah, sure.
What would be the questions you would start asking? Like, if someone wanted to start going into freelancing,
So,
you sat there and thought, I can't go back to work full-time.
Yeah. So mine was definitely panic-driven, which I do think that, like, that changes the equation when
right.
you're like, I don't have any choice but to make this work for us. So I didn't, again, kind of like the fake thing. You also, to me, in my experience, cannot like dabble in it. Like you have
right.
to commit to
you
say,
go
like,
all in.
This is what I'm doing.
Right.
Like not just, oh, I have like 3 hours. How can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
It's more, this is what I do. Let me offer you the service. So for me, that meant like literally I would scroll through my phone contacts and find somebody that I was comfortable texting to mm-hmm. say, hey, I am leaving my role to freelance. Who do you know who could use marketing help?
Mm-hmm.
Or is there anyone that you are aware of who's looking for somebody part-time?
Right.
So I am not comfortable selling myself to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm really bad at that. But
ironically, given your profession.
Yeah, exactly. But I could have people on my behalf suggest that I reach out, because then if like somebody's husband ended up needing some work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I connected that way of like, hey, I talked to your wife. She suggested that I connect with you. I now have a social media business. I didn't at the time,
right.
But I lied and said that I did,
mm-hmm.
because I knew I could and I would.
Right.
And all I needed for them was to sign. And so there's a lot that you can do on the front end to have all your ducks in a row. And probably most, like, you know, John Maxwell books and stuff would tell you that you should. I disagree. My experience has been like, fake whatever. Don't wait for it all to come together.
Because it won't, right?
It won't. Like, it won't. And if somebody needs your help, don't say like, okay, well, when I get my website running in 2.5 months, I'll get back to you. I still don't have a website for myself.
Right.
I just share. And if they're like, do you have a price sheet? No, here's what I know I charge per hour.
Right.
And honestly, that fluctuates a little bit depending on the client that it
is.
Or I can estimate a project for you.
Right.
Very simple. But I think that like most things, we complicate it a lot,
mm-hmm.
when it's really, you're providing a service for somebody.
Yeah.
And that's that.
The end.
But I do think that you do have to fake a lot.
Yeah.
And
I think anything. I mean, anytime. Yeah. There's always a little bit of padding that goes on in anything.
For
like
sure.
In any sort of application or online dating, I assume. You're always padding something somehow. So,
yeah. Well, and I think you always need to be a little bit ahead of where you are. Like, my second client that came on was a nonprofit started by the restaurant owner that my husband worked for at the time. And I had actually spent some time with this restaurant owner because I would go in and see David before we even had kids. And sit at the counter while he was cooking, and the owner would come in and talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know at the time who did his restaurant social media.
Yeah.
So I said at some point, like just casually in conversation, if you ever need social media help, let me know. Well, nothing came of that.
Right.
But then months later, he mentioned to David, hey, I have a project that I think I need some marketing help. Is that something that your wife still does? I think we need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just know that you will have conversations that don't have to be hard sells, but do plant seeds
mm-hmm.
that led to other things. And some you just kind of stumble on. Like, I have a longtime client who's an artist, and my mom loves her work. And so I arranged a birthday party for her at this gallery and emailed the gallery director to see if the owner would be there.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up in conversation. She was like, I'm not loving the social media and the copywriting that we have. She was just mentioning it, not even looking for work. And because I was there,
right.
I didn't even sell myself, but my mom and her friends were like, you need to talk to Caroline. She does that.
Right.
And because the owner knew that I had like checked beforehand to see if she was going to be there and arrange this party, it was like enough that she was aware of who we were, that she was like, let's talk.
Yeah.
And we did. But if you have those opportunities, follow up immediately, follow up often,
mm-hmm.
because I think all too often we have opportunities that we just don't take.
Right.
Because of fear or whatever. So just pretend you're somebody else writing on behalf of somebody else. Like, I would be much more likely to follow up to get an answer for you than I would be for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to pretend that I am a friend of mine.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. So you also decided to hire help, like, right away.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big conversation around work from home moms.
Oh, yeah.
I know a lot of moms who try to work full time from home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's kind of the implication that if you're working from home, it's like easy.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so far from the truth.
Working from home, I think, is way harder than working out of the house. I've done it every which way.
Mm-hmm.
Like working out of the house,
mm-hmm.
and working from home, and now a hybrid of mm-hmm. the two. And working from home is infinitely harder on a mental load, on everything.
Right.
Working from home is really hard.
Do you think that finding childcare of some sort is absolutely crucial?
Yes, I do. If you can afford it, obviously.
Right.
But we were in kind of like a reverse situation where I met Allison when I was 20 weeks pregnant or 22 weeks pregnant, fell in love with her. And at the time I was working out of the house, and the plan had been that I would be working out of the house. Like, mm-hmm. nothing had changed. So we needed that childcare. Then when my situation changed, I didn't know what my schedule would look like or if freelancing would even be sustainable in a full-time mm-hmm. capacity. But I didn't want to let go of childcare that we loved just in case it didn't work out and I had to go back. Or if I felt like if I can stack everything on 2 days of the week, which is when we have her. Mm-hmm. So for like 3 weeks, we were paying her with like no income coming in mm-hmm. because I was so afraid to be like, hey, you just started with us. We don't even know each other. Can you just hold yeah. for like a little bit? Because I knew finding that would be really hard. Mm-hmm. Now I rely on that. I mean, I work out of the house now during those days, but I think you're setting yourself up for a really difficult path to not have help and to romanticize working from home, because I definitely did. I was like, oh, this is fine. And right. there are ages that that can work, I think.
Yeah, I think there are a couple ages, like, especially we're not in the youngest
that.
One.
Yeah, no. We're not in that. Yeah. So as a refresher, I have a 14-month-old, a 2.5-year-old, and a 4.5-year-old. There's none of those that are friendly for, right. for working from home. But you also don't have to hire childcare. I mean, if you're a member of the Y, you can go and get 2 hours. With your membership, you get 2 hours of free childcare.
It's actually different at every branch.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, join ours.
Some branches are not, like, there's not the limit, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you live in our area, go see Megan at Pluff Muds. She works at the Y. She'll yeah. tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there are resources that you can take advantage of. But even then, when we just had Allison 2 days a week and that was our only childcare that we had, and even still to this day, most of my work happens after the girls go to bed. Mm-hmm. There's so much juggling to do, and you will wear yourself out, because I do on a daily basis, trying to be present both as an employee and as a parent mm-hmm. under the same roof. Mm-hmm. It's nearly impossible. And so setting up divisions for yourself, I actually just had a conversation with a friend via Instagram. Who she has an just turned 1-year-old, and now she's working from home. And she was like, "How does anybody do this?" And
right.
I was like, oh, hi. Let's talk.
Right.
Because it is really impossible.
Yeah.
But if you do have clients who know, like, be open with, right. I work from home. I have young kids. I think a lot of people will give a lot of grace to that, as long as right. you're producing work.
Right.
And I would say to stack as much as you can.
Yeah. I think that, like you said, there are definitely ages where I can look back over the course of the under 5 years and say, like, oh, this would have been like an okay time. But it's like, I don't know, maybe like over one. My brother and I were just talking about, he was saying he saw something somewhere about like a quote online or like a meme or something that was like, when you get to the age, when your kids get to the age where they can go in another room and you don't have to worry if they are living or dying,
yep.
your second life begins.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so true.
Well, and you know, I think too, the beauty of when I did it, when Norbeth was a newborn, I had no qualms about it because she was an easy newborn and she didn't right. move. So it was like, right. obviously I can do this.
Yeah.
This is the easiest thing in the world. I'm glad that I was that naive then.
Right.
Because if I were just trying to start it right now, I would be much more intimidated.
Yeah.
So again, know that it's never going to be perfect. We were paying for childcare we didn't need, but obviously 4 years later, it was the best thing we could have done.
And also, you paying for the time probably helped you to use that time for yourself. It's like you told
right.
me last year when I was considering like childcare, and my sister-in-law has told me this too, like you have to invest in yourself.
Yeah.
If that's what you want for yourself, you have to pay for that childcare so that you can create that time for yourself if you can afford it.
Yeah. But, well, not to get overly spiritual, but I think this is just a good concept for anybody, regardless of your faith. There's a story in the Bible about Elisha, who was a prophet, and the land was in a drought, and God said to him, well, go ahead and start digging ditches to catch the rain. And mm-hmm. he was like, well, it's a drought. There is no rain. And God said, but you need to be prepared when it comes to catch mm-hmm. the rain and make most of it. So he did. And then once they finished digging the ditches, it started to rain and they were prepared. But that is a mindset and like a principle that I'm really thankful that I kind of like blindly did in hindsight. Again, mm-hmm. mine was out of fear and urgency, but prepare as much as you can now.
Right.
In faith that, you know, the work is going to come if that is what you want.
Right.
Prepare as much as you can, because the thing is also there is going to be a short window that if you have a conversation, someone says, I need help, they don't want to be put on hold.
Yeah.
For you to arrange childcare and arrange mm-hmm. how you're going to get it done and have a schedule. So kind of formulate, again, that sounds counterintuitive to me also saying you're not going to ever have it all together, but have a general guideline of
right.
you would be able to pull a trigger and make it happen.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Cool. You'll probably receive most of the emails from me between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. I'll be checking all day. or I do my writing in the afternoon, whatever it is. Yeah, yeah. And I can come in for meetings on Tuesdays. Something that's a general guideline that you can have, that you present it as, you're not asking permission to them that this is your schedule.
Right.
But you are acting as though you do this.
Right.
Not. And I think there is something persuasive about presenting it in a way that they believe that other clients have already agreed to. Like, oh, this is just how you work.
Yeah. This is how I do things typically for my clients.
Yeah.
Well, of which you are the first.
And also figure out what feels fulfilling to you. You can't always take work that's that way. My very first client was a lithium ion battery client. It was the worst. I'm still enormously thankful for that work. It's what allowed any of that to even happen. They were paying me an obscene amount of money to do very little and not do it very well because that is just not my niche. And it was a few months before any of us figured it out. But take what you can to help prime the pump and like, take away from it what you need to. I learned that that is not where I'm best. And a client isn't going to get my best that way. But it also gave me kind of like the fuel to say, I'm already working with these clients.
Right.
So I could present to other people that there is work. And it took some of the urgency off of needing income.
Yeah. I think as a culture, we tend to rely heavily on like passion projects and like go where your heart leads you or whatever. But like also sometimes you, most of the time, I would say more often than not, you just have to pay the bills.
Yeah.
And you have to like get work in the bank, and you gotta, whatever level you're in, I think you have to pay your dues.
Well, and not to be overly cynical, but like I have found that a lot of times what I would consider passion work still really feels like drudgery.
Right.
When I'm relying on that solely for income.
Yes.
So don't romanticize passion projects.
Yeah.
I think you can very much enjoy what you do.
Yeah.
But still save room for the passion to come where it's not, you're not obligated to it.
That's very true. Because last year, when I started working with you and doing some freelance writing about homelessness and like poverty, which is, I was like super into it as a topic.
Your writing was phenomenal.
It was, that is very complimentary. Thank you. It was so interesting. And, it was a topic that I'm very passionate about because there was a, there's a lot of area to write about redlining and
racial inequality
and the things that lead to generational poverty. But it's still like when you pay, like you sent me, you sent me a couple weeks ago, a freelance opportunity for a magazine about plants.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what the whole job. It was like
writer.
Perfect. Like it was like write about gardening. And I like came so close, and then I'm like, okay, gardening is like just for me. It's like the one thing I have that's like just for me. And I'm like, oh, this will be so fun. And then I'm like, wait, if I do this, like if I'm like trying to like garden for money, that takes it away from me. I'm trying to garden
for
money. You mean
like if you were like a business farmer?
I said that completely wrong. If I try and monetize this thing that I've found in the last year that like brings me so much joy just for myself.
Yeah.
I feel like it will take a little bit out of it from that for me. So like kind of, I feel like I knew myself a little bit in that moment.
Yeah. I felt like that was very self-aware. Well, the other thing that I would advise as well, freelancing is great. I just think that there's some things to know about it. What actually a question we got in our
FAQs.
Yeah. We got actually a question in our Instagram. I'm holding up my phone as though everyone can see it. It's inside
our very visual medium of podcasting comes in handy yet again.
Somebody asked in our Q&A and I saved it because I knew we were going to talk about it. Would I consider starting my own business instead of contracting? And the answer is no. One, I don't want that financial liability of that. I would like the option to like dip in and out of it. I don't want other employees to rely on our workflow because I would take that too personally. But some advice I have about freelancing. Probably don't do work for your friends.
Oh, yeah, that's good advice.
Having a client supervisor relationship strains any relationship. And working in business for people, oftentimes you see a different side of them than you would socially. So use your connections to get clients, but I recommend it being like a second line of people that you know.
Like, do you know anyone?
Yeah, like mutual friends. Because if that goes sour, most likely your primary relationship won't.
Right.
Because there are a lot of people that are my friends, but I don't know that we'd work super well together. Right. And then there are other people that I work great together, but we're not like friends, you know?
Yeah. Actually, Pisan and I very much have that relationship. We've like set out to do some projects together, and I'm like, this isn't gonna work. Yeah,
David and I could not work well together. When we're in sync in a project, it's awesome. Like, he worked at a restaurant once, and I would go in like once a week and help him in it, and that was great. But I think it was just because we knew, like, there's a few hours, it's great. Yeah. He was totally
small,
in charge.
Yeah, a small thing. Pasan and I made plans to like potentially start something like a couple years ago. I think it was when I was pregnant with Maya or Mel. I don't remember.
Yeah.
And I can't work with him, and he can't work with me. We're very different. We have very different workflows. We have very different like outlooks.
Oh yeah. Like, well, again, in that same vein, be prepared. If you work for a brand or a company that you're like a total fan girl of, that your opinion may really change of them. And it may not always be terrible or anything like blatantly wrong. But seeing like some of like the behind the scenes, and even if it's fine and great people, there can be some dysfunctionality that just comes with business.
Right.
That it changes how you see the brand itself. Right. So if you want to love something, like just be aware.
Yeah.
So there's some advice, and that is from experience, because I have two different situations that like it really changed how I saw a person. It was one of the worst freelance clients that I've taken on, but it was one that I was most excited about, and it soured very quickly. And also know that you are actually in control. I'm still learning this.
Oh, that's good. That's number one, I would say.
Yeah. But I guess that tells you who I am as a person, that I'm like, it's okay. They might not like you, and it's okay. But it's also like, and again, I am still learning this. You are not beholden to any client.
Right.
Because they're your client. You have control to say no, to set boundaries, to leave a relationship. And too often in freelancing, still, I say yes to everything because I was thinking about it yesterday when I was packing preschool lunches for people that were paying for them. I was like, I guess I'm really fiscally motivated, like monetarily. But then I was like, no, I think I'm just like provision motivated in that. Well, this amount could allow us to do this above and beyond. And like, I want to provide that to my kids. So that to me is like a provision.
Right.
But it's not worth it at the expense of what it drains from you. And you'll know when you have the right load and when you don't. Even if it's a mix of things. There's one client that I have right now. I'm not like thrilled about them. They're fine. They're fine. And I think that it's okay to have those. And then it's okay to have ones that you love and ones that you don't like a lot.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's what I'm trying to like pinpoint as well. Like, you don't have to be obsessed with every single little thing. Like, as far as like your passion and like what, like sometimes you just got to do some work. You're not going to always love it. And I think especially like sometimes I think that it's easy to say like, well, I'm not like, I don't feel passionately about this company, so it's a no for me. Where it's like, no, you just got to like, you got to put dinner on the table somehow.
Right.
And you've got to enable yourself to do a bunch of other things. So like, just unless it's like people who are out there like hunting big endangered game for money.
Right.
Or like companies that are reprehensible. Yeah. People that are reprehensible. Like,
selling,
that's different.
Cigarettes to children. Right. Like, I think that you're pretty fine.
Sure. Have morals.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to, we're not here to tell you what to do. But, you know, I do think I'll get back on my old person soapbox here. I do think that this Instagram culture of do what you love.
Yes.
Sign these passion projects. Yes. Do your hustle and grind, whatever.
Yeah.
They are really all just cover-ups for laziness a lot of the time and cop-outs for why we don't work hard. If you're just waiting for this dream.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
You know what the dream is? Like, providing enough money to live your life.
Being able to sign your kids up for the things that they want to do without having to feel like you have to sacrifice.
Being financially independent where you don't have to ask other people for money. You know, and again, our seasons have ebbed and flowed in we've done it and our enjoyment.
Yeah.
But you know what? Sometimes it's even more rewarding to like bring home a paycheck from somebody that you know you had to overcome your own like
You worked issue. Like, it's a different kind of like hard work for
it
that.
It is, because you're like, hey, you know what? Ultimately, this is something I'm proud of. Like, I did not enjoy writing about lithium batteries at all.
Right.
I did not do well. But at the end of the day, I do have a portfolio of work from them that I'm proud of, because had I not been in a situation of urgency where I needed that work, I would have turned it down. But you know what? Like, it is what allowed us 4 years later to be where we are right now.
Right.
And I'm really proud of that.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I think on that note, we can take a quick break and introduce a new segment we'll trying out next week.
And if you have any other like freelance specific questions, send them my way.
All right. So I talked about how I really want to read Virtue of Sin. My friend Amy recommended it. This book, I think, is a bestseller. So we love reading here. It's a good idea to read. Next week, on next week's episode, we're going to discuss it.
Yes.
So if you want to discuss it with us, get involved. Let's talk about it on Instagram and or email at agoodideapod@gmail.com. And we will talk about it next week. So if you haven't read it yet, you'll know not to get in there on those spoilers, but it'll be in next week's episode at this time.
Perfect.
Book club it is. And we have run over. Obviously, there's a lot to talk about this week. So we'll hit up our good ideas next week as well. And have a good week.
Bye.